anybody here ready to change your sound? Let me hear it. Anybody here ready to change your sound? All right. We are letting God change our sound. It's something that's happening, and God is producing in us a fresh sound, a fresh praise, fresh worship. We're changing the way we speak. We're changing the things we're listening to. We need to change the people who have our ear and start to make sure we're opening up our ears to the right people, to the right things that are the things we're putting in our mind, in our heart. We're changing and saying, God, we want a fresh sound to come out of us, a sound of praise. We find this all through Scripture. When the praise is there, God is there. We know that His presence follows praise. And so when a fresh sound is coming, you can find a fresh move of God following that sound. Or it's actually just the opposite. You'll actually see a fresh sound following the move of God so well. So we know today that God is wanting to change in us some things. We're on the third part of this series on changing our sound today. And I want to talk to you. We're going to turn to Genesis 4 in just a second. We're going to look at the first family here in Genesis. And let me just say this. How many know that the first family fight happened here in Genesis? It only took four chapters for the first family fight to happen. You know what the first family fight was about? It was about worship. It really was. We're going to find out in a second. The first family fight was about worship. And I will tell you this today, that more things happen, more fights happen in church over worship than I've seen anything else in my life. I've seen churches split over worship, style of worship, generations of worship, and things happen. I will just tell you this now. If I ever hear, if I've gone on to glory and this church is still going on, and, you know, if I ever hear, if Peter comes and tells me, hey, you would not believe the fight that's going on in Destiny over worship, I'm going to say, God, please send me back down and give me two bolts of lightning in both hands so I can come down and strike somebody. We got to make sure we don't allow ever that the God would ever allow us to have a spirit of division over music or worship. It's for His glory. It ushers in the presence of God. You know why this is? Let me tell you why we got to guard this. It's because realize that Satan was created as the chief worshiper. The Word of God says that before he was cast out of heaven, that he was worship. That every sound that we can ever imagine, every beautiful sound of worship, every drum, every guitar, every harp, every keyboard played, every instrument could ever be think of, every thought of. There you go. Every thought of could what? It was come out of him. Every choir sound, every voice, I mean, imaginable. He was like his own choir. He was the one-man worship machine. And he's giving God just worship, and people are worshiping God. And then all of a sudden he says, hey, wait a minute. They're not worshiping God. They're worshiping me. They're worshiping the music I'm producing. They're worshiping the worship I'm producing. And so because of this, pride enters his life. And he says, hey, I'm better than God. And, of course, God gives him the boot, bam, and kicks him out along with all of his followers. The third of heaven followed him, and he was cast out of heaven. So now God has created you and I to be what? Worshipers. We were created as worshipers. If you don't know this, you were created. Your main purpose in life that God created for you for was to give him worship. We are created to be worshipers, praisers of who God is. And so Satan doesn't like that. Because you and I are stepping into the role that he was originally designed for. And so he is going to fight. He's going to fight you on your worship. He's going to fight you in your heart of worship. He's going to do everything he can to stop you from worshiping. He's going to do everything he can to stop you from coming to worship here on a praise on a Sunday morning. He's going to cause all kinds of confusion to come in your life. He's going to cause everything to go wrong. It's going to happen on Sunday morning. Everything's going to happen. It's going to happen to distract you. Why? Because he does not want you to find yourself in the place of worship. Because when worship happens, what happens? Chains are broken. Freedom is here. And you're stepping into a place he cannot go when he lost. And so he's going to attack. And so he'll attack the church. He'll attack the church and worship. He'll attack the worship team. I told the worship team this. We talked about it several times. But we got to be careful because he'll attack the worship team. He'll allow pride to come in, things to happen. And so we guard ourselves. We want to make sure that we're keeping ourselves from that. As a congregation, because we're new, we haven't had that. But we got to say we want to keep that as well. We want to keep that as well, that we don't allow ever a generation to hang on and say, all right, our way is the only way. No, we got to be willing now that our children, we're going to release them for a new sound. Their sound, when they bring it forth, we got to say we're going to embrace it. We're going to embrace what they bring. And so get that into your DNA now that, you know, 8, 10 years from now, when the next generation is coming up and leading us in worship and music, that we say, yeah, it's a fresh sound. It's a sound of heaven. Let's embrace it. Let's empower it. Let's let it come forth. Say amen. All right. That didn't cost you anything there. Let's get right to our text. Genesis chapter 4. Let's look at the first family fight here. Let's pick it up in verse 2, and we'll read 2 through 8. And of course, now we know Adam and Eve bore two sons, and we pick it up right here, and their names are Abel. Now, Abel kept flock, and Cain, the other son, he worked the soil. So Abel was what? A shepherd, and Cain was a farmer of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought some of his fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Now, Abel also brought an offering of fat portions, the good portions, from some of his firstborn of his flock. Then the Lord looked with favor upon Abel and his offering. But Cain and his offering he did not look on with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to him, "Why are you angry? Why is your face so downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you." Look what it says about our attitude about sin. You must what? Rule over it. Pastor, I just don't think we'll ever be able to rule over sin in my life. I don't think God's given me his grace. It is there. I want you to know grace is huge. It's bigger than you can imagine. God's grace for us is so big. But he also, I believe, he has empowered you that you don't have to be ruled by sin, that you are created to have dominion over sin in your life. Just a little side note there. He says you are created to have dominion, to rule over it. Look what he says. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out into the field." While they were out in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. So I know in verse 5, God said to him, "Why are you such a long face? Cain, why are you frowning? What's with the attitude?" That's what he's asking. What's with the attitude? Your face is all telling the story. Isn't it amazing that when we start worship, that you can tell who's ticked off already? That worship really reveals the mood we're in. Worship will reveal the mood we're in because, man, you come in and like, man, I don't want to worship. I'm just not in the mood today. Oh. You ever been there? I've been there before. You ever been there before? Yeah, it really shows them. We'll get on the fans. I know God wants me to worship. But, man, I've had such a bad week, or I've been such a bad person. I don't like doing this or that. And worship right away will show us the mood we're in. We walk in with a mask, but, man, you get in God's presence, and all of a sudden, it just shows you. That's why I like turning the lights down. I don't have to look at your face. I don't know who's mad, who's not. Oh, they had a bad week. I can see it all over the face right now. Worship will reveal, it reveals our mood. It really does. It shows us where we really are at. He said, "Cain, why the down face?" And he says it very plainly. If you'd done what was right, if you'd worshiped me the right way, I'd have accepted it. But obviously you didn't do according to what I'd asked you to do. Worship reveals who we really are, the mood we are. Last week we talked about Jacob. Remember Jacob? He has 12 sons. And he has 12 sons. His 12 sons went on to be the 12 tribes of Israel came out of him. He married Leah. Remember, he was tricked into marrying Leah after he worked 7 years to marry the woman he wanted and loved, Rachel. The father-in-law tricked him and made him marry Leah instead. And it's just a great story of love and tragedy and triumph. And, I mean, a lifetime has nothing on these ladies, I guarantee you right here. If you never read the story, ladies, you need to go read the story of Rachel and Leah in the Bible. Heartbreaking story. How Leah was forced to live with a man who doesn't love her. Her father tricked Jacob into marrying her, thinking it was a sister, and he didn't find out until later that he'd actually married the wrong girl. And then he had to work another 7 years for the woman he really loved, which is her sister. So we have this whole love triangle going on. And so we see this thing where we talked about last week when Leah had children, she had sons, she named him her sons according to how she was feeling. Because her first son named Reuben, his name was See Me. And then she had another son, and Simeon, and his name was Hear Me. And then she had another son, his name was Levi, and his name means Know Me. And she's crying out. This is what she's kind of mood she's in. Ladies, you're so transparent. Guys, we have a hard time sometimes breaking the shell, but ladies, we don't have that problem with you. You're so transparent. And it's just this lady, she's so transparent. She's like, "Hello, Jacob, I'm giving you a son. Please notice me. Jacob, hear me. Hear me. I want you to hear me as well. Jacob, can you notice me? I'm over here. I'm your first wife." I'm stuck in this marriage too. You think I'm happy? Hear me. Join me. Be intimate with me. And it says that she's crying out, and you can see her emotions. It's right out there. They reflect. See, they reflect in the names. That's why many times in Scripture you see, we find out they didn't name children until they were much older, because they gave them names according to their personality traits. How many are glad that your parents named you when you were first born and didn't wait to name you later? How much, what would your name really be today if your parents had waited 10 years to name you? I'm just kind of curious. That's another message altogether. All right, didn't cost you anything. But, you know, that in itself tells you the kind of mood she was in. And then she names her last son Judah, fourth son Judah, which means praise. And basically what we see about this is what we talked about last week, is she said, if I can't get the attention of Jacob, then God, I'm going to get your attention. And she began to say, I'm going to name him praise. And in our life, we've had times when we're disappointed. Life has rejected us, and life has disappointed us. And if you feel like there is no praise left in you, I'm telling you, that's when the most powerful praise will come out of you, and a Judah praise can come out of your situation when you allow God to move. And say, God, I'm not going to praise you because of my situation. I'm going to praise you because you listen to me. God, you will hear me. You will not leave me. God, you will not reject me. The Bible says that when I rejoice over God, that he rejoices over me. Isn't it so true? I mean, how many parents here remember when your children were young enough that you would come home and you had maybe you had a bad day and you haven't been done anything to warrant the love and affection, but you walk in the door and the kids are so excited to see you. And you're like, wow, isn't it such an awesome feeling when your kids walk in and they want to jump and hug you and, yay, mommy's home, daddy's home, and they're excited and they want to hang on you and they want to talk to you and they want to rejoice. They're just so excited to be in your presence, and you can genuinely see it. How many parents remember those days? Yeah. I remember those days, and it's as a parent, it would make you so much want to respond to them, doesn't it? It makes you want to respond and give them your attention. They rejoice over you, and you rejoice back over them. What the Word of God says, we're made in his image, in his likeness. And so think how much more God rejoices over us when we rejoice over him. Father, I'm thankful that you're home. God, I'm thankful that you're here. I'm going to praise you. Thank you, God, that you're my Father. And as I get into this attitude of rejoicing over the Lord, it says that he rejoices over me. See, I don't have to make God love me. He already loves me. And he's already proven his love by sending his only begotten Son. You don't have to date God to get him to love you. He already loves you. He loves you. Let me give you this. He loves you with no strings attached. Some of you ladies need to get there. He loves you with no strings attached. It's unconditional. Let's get back to our story here in Cain and Abel. See, we see in the garden where sin came in chapter 3, and then in chapter 4, we had the first murder. Didn't take long for sin to get in, and all of a sudden, we had the first act of murder happening in chapter 4. That's why we got to teach our kids to do right. You ever notice we don't have to teach them to do wrong? That comes pretty natural. Anybody ever have anybody teach you to do wrong? It came pretty natural to you, didn't it? Doing wrong comes natural. We have to have people teach us to do right. People to speak into us to do right, teach us to do the right thing. Sin is in the world, and we got to teach our kids to do the right things. See, God had already instituted a right way of worshiping him. Now, the Scripture is not full of everything that God ever spoke, okay? We got to know that. Scripture is not full of everything. There's no way that the books of the world could contain everything that God ever said or directed. So some things we have to interpret and read in between the lines and see a pattern in Scripture that God had established. And we see when it comes to sacrifices and praise and worship that God had established a pattern that in the Old Testament where blood had to be shed, the sacrificing of the animals. He said, you sacrifice the blood. Why? Because he knew that eventually he was going to already setting up atonement for what had already happened in chapter 3. When sin entered the world, he knew the blood had to be shed for atonement to happen in your and our life. So in the New Testament now, Jesus Christ shed his blood for you and I. No longer does blood have to be shed, but you and I can now walk into a new covenant that Jesus did on the cross for you and I. But in the Old Testament, He required a sacrifice. A sacrifice had to be made of blood being shed. And so Cain doesn't bring a sacrifice of blood. He brings the fruit of his field, the harvest of his crops. See, we struggle, and we see it struggling right here. The same struggle that happened there with Cain and Abel is still the same struggle that we face with today. That men and women today, that we still face today is the struggle of worship. Will you praise God his way, or will you praise God your way? We still struggle with this. Are we going to praise God his way, or will we praise God your way? We all struggle with that. Well, Pastor, I just want to praise God the way I know. That's fine, but if the way you know is not right, then you're not experiencing all that God has for you. And we'll look in Scripture and see what God will many times reject the wrong offering, the wrong praise. My purpose in life is to worship God. You were created. We were created to worship God. We talked about this in a couple weeks ago about Paul and Silas. Remember how they were praising in the prison? They were lifting up their voices in the midnight hour as they were in prison. They were locked up, chained up. As they began to praise in the midnight hour, what happened? That the chains began to come loose. It said chains began to fall off of them. And it says in their praise that the prison doors, plural, began to come open. They were rattled open and they came open. And all the prisoners were set free of their chains, and all the prisoners were set free of the prison they were in. You see, you got to get this in your heart. Because not only does praise free you, but praise has the power to free those close to you. Let me give you this example today. Okay, all my life group leaders, stand up right here today. All my prayer partners, stand up today. If you're a life group leader or a prayer partner, stand up today. There we go. All right, give me some other people. Carol, why don't you stand up in the back as well? Give me some hands there. All right. Season, Neil, why don't you guys stand up over here as well? All right, now I want every one of you guys just to raise your hands. Just to raise your hands. Okay. See, what we got to see in our spirit, this is what's happening. When we begin to worship God and praise God in our spirit, you're not just helping yourself, setting yourself free, but you're allowing a ripple effect to take place across the auditorium. That you're setting people free around you. So thank you guys. You can be seated. So what happens is this, you got to see this, that in my heart, that when I'm worshiping God in the sanctuary, not only am I setting myself free, but I'm helping those around me be set free. I mean, think about it. Think about it. Justin, stand back up. If I'm standing next to Justin or sitting next to Justin, and Justin's worshiping the Lord, go ahead and give me a good worship pose. There you go. That's a rookie role. Give me the more season. There you go. All right, there you go. Now, if I'm here, I'm thinking, man, I really would like to praise God. But, man, I'm kind of embarrassed, or I just don't know. I've never done that before. I'm kind of uncomfortable with that. Well, look at Justin. Justin's doing it. No one's looking at him. Nobody's laughing at him. Nobody's paying attention. They're just really going. I think I can do it. And very soon I feel my old crickety body standing. And I stand up and my hand, I can do this. Oh, yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. And see, I'm encouraging other people around me. That's why, thank you. That's why it's important that when you praise, you got to see, I'm not just praising God for me, but I'm affecting the spiritual climate of this atmosphere. I'm ushering in the presence of God here. I'm encouraging other people who want to worship. I'm helping other people be set free. I'm encouraging somebody else who wants to. I'm just waiting for somebody next to them to praise. And that's why we turn the lights down. So, man, you can enter into that place of worship and praise and not feel inhibited like someone's staring at you. You can break past that barrier in your life because it affects the spiritual climate. So your praise affects not only yourself, it affects other people around you. So when I come in, that's why it's important that we don't stop coming together. That if you're not out of town, if you're not on vacation, you need to be here, man. And say, man, I got to come. I got to not only free myself, but I got to help increase that spirit of freedom in the house this morning. I got to bring that spiritual tidal wave and help bring that with me today. It's the freedom that comes. It's the freedom that comes. Let me tell you this. We should all learn to worship him in freedom. But Pastor, church is supposed to be holy. Holy and quiet. I was taught that. You be quiet in church. Shh. You're supposed to be quiet as a church mouse.
Because church is holy. Let me tell you this. If there's no praise going up in that house, it ain't a holy place. It's just a building. It's just steel. These are just beams. These are just chairs. This is not a holy place. It only becomes holy when we make it the holy of holies. When we say, God, I want your presence here. And Scripture is very clear. We talked about it last week. Scripture is very clear that he says, even though Israel, all 12 tribes, were his domain, all Bible-believing churches are his domain. They all belong to him. They're all Christians. They all belong. He says, but he will only take sanctuary in Judah. He will only abide in the praise. So if there is no praise, then the presence of God is not going to be there. It just look at Scripture. It backs us up 100%. Good people. Good teaching. That's great. But the power of God cannot be there. It's not a holy place unless God is there. Let me give it to you this way. When we first started our church at the Holiday Inn, we'd come in that Sunday morning early, man. We'd have a trailer and have a crew there to help set up and get ready. Carlos, remember those days, man? We met there early. Carlos was up at 6 o'clock in the morning driving that trailer over for me, man. We'd be over there getting set up. And the night before, they'd had the place, the banquet halls rented out to other people. Man, they'd have open bar and dance floor. Man, they were partying hard, so hard that people had to be just carried. They'd stay all night at the hotel, and they'd just going up to the rooms because they were too drunk to drive. I mean, they were partying hard. And the next morning, we're coming in having church. We're setting up chairs, setting up sound. Was that place holy? Yes, it was. Yes, it was. When we brought in the sound of praise, it became a holy place. We'd be having worship in that Holiday Inn. It's no lie. Those of you who remember these days, we'd have worship Holiday Inn. All of a sudden, people start coming out of the rooms. What's going on? I hear a different sound coming out of this room. It's too early for a dance. What's going on in here? You guys partying at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning? Oh, they said, I just felt compelled to come in. I don't know why. I heard a different sound, and the sound would draw them down the hall. It was amazing. People walking in. Why? Because we made that place holy by our praise. Well, Pastor, I just believe church is supposed to be quiet and holy. Well, you were taught wrong. I'm just telling you. That's not Scripture. Now, there's a time to be quiet before the Lord. There's time to be still before the Lord. I'm not saying those aren't times we need to do that. But we see all through Scripture where the presence of God is found in the praises of his people. He inhabits those praises. He moves with praises. Sound always follow the move of God. We can't deny that. We can't get away from that. Cain brought the fruit and the produce. Abel brought the sheep. See, God accepted Abel's, but he rejected Cain's offering. God accepted Abel's because he did it according to what he was instructed to do. And God rejected Cain's offering. Let me give you this statement. Just because you give it to God, doesn't mean he has to accept it. Just because you give it to God doesn't mean he has to accept it. God judges our worship. And he knows, am I giving him my leftovers, the very easy thing? Or am I giving things that are sacrifice to me? We bring a sacrifice of praise. It should stretch me. It should move. It shouldn't be always the easy thing to do. It's not always easy. We got to move beyond that. See, God rejected his praise because Cain wanted to bring the easy thing. He knew about harvesting. He knew about fruits. He already had them. It was easy just to bring that. For him to have to go get a blood sacrifice, that would have meant a lot more money invested. It would have meant a lot more time invested. It would have meant something out of his comfort zone. And so he brought what was easy to him. Listen, God doesn't want what's easy. He wants the pure thing. Now listen, sometimes when we give God a praise, it's a big step, even though it doesn't seem like a lot. For some of you here, it's a big step. For some of you to move out of your comfort zone, it will stretch you and move you, and just a little praise was a big deal for you. That's okay. But for others of you, you've moved beyond that. It's easy for you to do that. Sometimes God will ask you to give a little more and to go a little deeper and to pursue him a little more passion. I mean, it takes effort. That's why we should be investing. What kind of investment did you put into this worship time today? Some of you got here at the last second. You flew by the seat of your pants. You couldn't find your kids' outfits to wear. You couldn't find matching shoes. Couldn't find the socks you needed. Your curling iron went out. You were just trying to get here. It was a hustle and bustle. Man, you just barely made it. That's why we teach our leaders and our worship teams, listen, Saturday night, you got to be ready. Saturday night, you got to be ready. You got to already start investing for what's going to happen on Sunday morning. Why? Because God requires that of me. If I'm going to go into worship, I should already have my kids' clothes ironed and laid out on Saturday night ahead of time. I should know what I'm going to wear. I should find my shoes, have my matching socks ready to go. If I'm needing anything from Walmart the last second, I better know about it Saturday night, not at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Some of you said, Pastor, did my husband call you before you came to church today? No, I'm talking about that's where we live. That's where I live, where you live. And I know if we don't prepare ourselves early, something will always come in and try to steal it. And I'm just giving God my leftover. But you know what? It's such an amazing thing when you're already getting into that mindset Saturday night saying, man, I can't wait to come in on Sunday morning and give God praise. I'm going to get my clothes ready tonight, get my kids' clothes ready tonight. My mind's already going there. My heart's already ready. I get up Sunday morning and I'm ready. And I get here and I say, God, I'm prepared. I'm ready to worship you. I'm giving you my best. That makes no sense. Well, how would you treat your wedding? How would you treat your daughter's wedding? You plan in advance for years for that thing, ladies. Come on. How do you treat your prom? Do you just go, oh, I think I'm going to prom tonight. So I think I'm going to go to my closet. No, you prepared, didn't you guys? You get what I'm saying? It's a sacrifice to prepare ahead of time. Now, sometimes it doesn't seem like a lot. The lady who gave, remember the scripture said the lady who gave just a few cents of her offering to the Lord. The Lord said she gave more than anybody else. Why? Because she gave all of her had. Didn't seem like a lot. If the rich young ruler had given us 2 cents, you think the Lord would have accepted that? No. Because he said no. He said, I'm asking you to give me more. I'm asking you to give me all you have. You're not making a sacrifice by giving that. God requires a sacrifice. Listen, he requires a sacrifice. He requires a sacrifice. Our praise should take us deeper. You think our musicians just get up here on Sunday morning and lead us saying, all right, what are we going to do today, Pastor Mel? And she's like, well, here's a couple songs I was listening to last night on the CD. Let's pick it out and we'll figure it out. No, they've been practicing for weeks before they ever introduce a new song to you. You don't know that, but they're producing, they're working. But why? Because it requires it. Praise requires a sacrifice. How do you treat your praise? What kind of investment do you have into it? Are you investing? God, I'm ready to invest. I'm ready to give it my full attention. God, I want to give you my best praise. God, I don't want to come in with the attitude of saying, yeah, what is? Pastor, hurry up, get through the song. It's not really my favorite song. No, it's God, I'm going to praise you. Another opportunity to praise you. God, help me give you the best praise I can give you today. Sometimes it doesn't seem like a lot because, man, it's stretching you. You've had a bad week and nobody around you knows it. It's okay. It's in those times that you say, God, I'm going to praise you anyway. Look at Scripture. It teaches us that we got to learn to stretch ourselves. See, too many times we just bring God what's easy. Pastor, I'm just a quiet person. Pastor, I just kind of worship God in my mind. I worship my mind. I'm a quiet person. I'm introverted and just really quiet. So I just worship God in my mind. All right, look in Scripture and you find that and you show me and then I'll quit preaching this message. But I've studied it and I have never found where we're called to worship God solely in our mind. It's not there. Now, is there a time and place where that might be relevant? Yeah. If you're in the middle of some chaos at work, sometimes you just got to go to it in your mind. God, I'm just giving you praise in my mind. I'm singing the song. God, in my mind, I'm giving to you. Sometimes that's relevant. That's okay, the situation. But at church, it's not relevant, okay? We're to bring him the praise. We can read Scripture after Scripture. It says when we come into the sanctuary, we lift up holy hands. We're to praise him with the loud instruments, is what it says. Cymbals, drums, it names it all, with a loud voice. So he says, let everything praise the Lord. You know that. So we're not called to worship him. A pastor is just not my personality. I'm just not a very expressive person. So you're telling me today, if you go home tomorrow from work and you go to the mailbox and you open up your mail and you get a letter that says, I am canceling out all of your debt. I am paying off your house. I am paying off all the credit cards. I'm paying off every auto loan you have. I'm paying off all your school bills, all your school loans. I'm paying off all that empire bill that you haven't got caught up because it's been so hard all summer. I'm going to catch up on that gas bill you're still paying off from the winter. I'm canceling out all debt, taking care of all the gas. I got everything taken care of. You are debt free. How many would get excited about that letter? You would you? You'd be like, oh, hallelujah, God, I receive that in the name of Jesus. You'd be doing backflips like Dusty. I'll guarantee you, I'd do a flip off the stage, someone give me that letter tomorrow. You don't believe me? Try me. Be real, though. Back it up. No fake letters. Okay. Let me tell you this, that you have a debt that's been canceled. I have a debt that's been canceled. That while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me, and he's canceled my debt. That I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was once blind, but now I see. I was once destined to a hell fire. But now I've been destined to what? A place in heaven to call my own. I'm walking in new royalty. I'm walking with a new father. I'm walking in a new spirituality. See, I have a reason to be excited. My debt has been paid. And if for no other reason ever, God does another thing for me. My debt has been paid. That should get you excited. That should get you know what? I'm ready to praise the Lord. Thank you, God. You have canceled out my debt. Well, Pastor, I'm just not expressed in person. That's good. But I saw you at the ball games this weekend. Some of you think, I am not expressive, but you get out there on the ball field and watch your grandkid. They just start walking on the field. You're, ah! Ah! Grandma's here. Hello. That grandkid's ignoring you because they're like, oh my God, grandma's here. And you're going crazy. And all they did was get a bottle of water and take it over there. It's what pushes your buttons. That's really the issue. And so if you don't see praise as a value, you'll never value it. And so you got to realize when I praise, I'm affecting my life. I'm affecting the life of others. I'm celebrating the debt that God canceled in my life. I'm celebrating that he's breaking chains in my life. I'm celebrating that I am free, no longer a slave to my sin, no longer a slave to my past. It's a free place to live, and I'm never going back to the person I used to be. Thank you, God, that I'm walking in grace. Thank you, God, that I'm walking in the place of righteousness that you have established in my life. It should change you. It should change your praise. You should say, I will never, ever be silent again. I will never say, it's just not my nature. No, my nature is to say, thank you, God. Praise you, God. There was none like you. Praise you, God. There will never be none like you. Praise you, God. That should be the cry of my heart. See, Scripture has two things that when we praise, I believe two things that really are evident. Two of the main things. There's more, but two of the main things. When we praise the Lord, two things happen. Number one, it sets us free. We've already talked about that. When we praise the Lord, it sets us free. It sets us around, people around us free. And number two, when we praise the Lord, it kills our pride. It kills our pride. You can't have pride in worship of the Lord, can you? Ladies, you have pride when you have mascara running down your face. It ain't happening. You lose dignity sometimes when you're praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord. It's okay. If you haven't figured this out yet, God is trying to kill pride in our life. He says that what? God rejects the proud. Scripture says that God rejects the proud. Do you want God to reject you? Do you want God? I don't want God to reject me. I don't want him to reject my praise. It says, but what? He exalts the humble. So when I worship the Lord, the Lord is killing off pride in my life. God, I don't worship because I feel like it. I'm worshiping because of who you are. I'm not worshiping just because you did something great for me. I'm worshiping because of who you are in my life, what you've done for me. I submit to your lordship of my life. I say that you are in charge. I say you are greater. I say that I will submit to your dream, your will. If it means being the only one, and listen, God, I ask you to do it. Let's get ready. There's going to come a time when you're going to feel like you're the only one worshiping. You're the only one praising. God's going to say, I want you to praise me. You're like, Pastor hasn't even turned on the lights yet. The lights are still on. People are looking. Just get ready. He's going to ask you to do it. I can tell you the times I did it, and it broke me. I told you that story a few weeks ago. How I remember God making me be the only one standing up and several hundred people and worshiping. Tears flowing down my face, and I didn't care. And I remember the breakthrough that happened in my life, and I said, I'll never go back. It was a breaking point for me. I got past that fear. Can't go back. Can't go back. Let me give you the scripture. James 5:13 says like this, as we get ready to close. James 5:13 says, if anyone's among you is in trouble, let them pray. So if you're happy, in a good mood, what are you supposed to do? Sing songs of praise, right? If you're happy, sing praise. Is it easy to sing praise when you're happy? It's a given, right? All right, we know this. But look what it says also in Psalms 42. We get the reverse of this. Psalms 42, verses 3 through 5 says, the psalmist said, my tears have been my food day and night. Have you ever been there when all you do is cry yourself to sleep? You can't eat. Only thing you're eating is your tears. That's what he says. I'm having those times when I don't eat anything. I can't eat. Only thing I can eat is my own tears. And people are mocking you. Where's your God now? Listen, anytime you go through a down season in your life, you're going to have naysayers who say, where's your God now? You went to church, and what's happening now? Just get ready. People are going to say, where are you at now? Where's your God now? That's what happens. And he said, people are saying, where's your God? And then he starts to reflect. He says, these things I remember, though, as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy. And what? With shouts of joy and praise. He says, among the festival atmosphere, among the people. Why? Look what he says now. Then he starts talking. He says, why, my soul, are you downcast? See, this is the same thing God asked Cain. Cain, why are you downcast? Why is your face down? The psalmist is asking himself the same question. Why am I so down? Why am I so disturbed within me? Look what he says. Now I'm going to change some things. I'm going to put my hope in God. For I will yet, everybody say yet. One more time, say yet. I will yet praise him, my Savior, my God. See, this is the place he's trying to get us to change our sound. He says, it's easy to praise him when things are going great. It's in the yet time that it really stretches us. It's in the yet time that it really becomes a challenge. It's in the yet time that, yet while I'm going through my struggle, God, I'm going to praise you. Yet when I'm going through my divorce, while I praise you. Yet when I'm going through my financial trouble, yet while I praise you. Yet while I'm sick, yet when my kid's lost, yet when I don't see the answer, yet when I lose my job, yet when the bill collectors are calling, yet will I praise you. It changes the atmosphere. So knowing this, that I praise him in the good and I praise him in the bad, that means what? That the sound of praise should never leave our house. The sound of praise should never leave my mouth. The sound of praise should never leave. We should never have an empty place in this sanctuary. When we come together, it should be praise no matter what. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. It's a stretch. Other times it's going to be easy. But the sound of praise should always follow. Should always follow us. It should be there. Why? Because I want God here. I don't want to show up if his presence isn't here. I don't want to be here if his presence isn't here. I don't want to be here. I'll watch it online and stay at home. I can do that. And that's why when we start an online church, it's got its place and it's got its purpose. But you better not stay home and watch church. You better get your rear here because you need to be where the presence of God is at. You hear what I'm saying? Okay. It didn't cost you anything. I told you. Okay. Because it's power in the praise of the people. Power in the praise of the people. I'm going to invite you to stand today. How many today say, Pastor, I want a fresh sound of praise to come out of my mouth, man. I am ready for a fresh sound of praise. How many say today, Pastor, I want to enter into that yet praise. I want God to teach me to praise him yet when I'm in trouble, yet when things aren't going well, yet when things look bleak, yet will I praise him. How many today say, Pastor, I want a yet praise to come out of my mouth. I want a yet praise. God, I'll praise you no matter what. I'm going to invite you to join me in the front today. As you step out of your seat and say, Pastor, I am ready to step into a new sound. I'm ready to step in. I'm taking this series and I'm saying, God, change my heart. Change the expression. Let something fresh come out of my mouth. Yet will I praise you. Now, usually we close with a song that's slow and worshipful as we come to the altar and put our hearts together. But today we're gonna mix it up a little bit. We're gonna do some praise. We've been talking about praise, so how many think we ought to end with a praise song today? I think we should. Step into the front, make room for those coming in, guys. We're gonna turn TJ loose, and I want you to put your hands together and mouth to God. Let's praise you. Come on. Let praise fill this house today.
I need to see everybody putting your hands together like this. Come on, come on. Is anybody ready to praise God in this place? Come on, we can do better than that. Anybody ready to praise God in this place? Come on, come on. We gonna give God praise in this place. Come on. Get a praise. Get a praise. Yeah. Come on, give God some praise.
Lift your hands to the Lord right now. Father, right now, Lord, I believe there's people in this house. Some of you are so close. Some of you are so close to the breakthrough of praise in your life. You're just right there on the edge. So I'm going to pray one more prayer as we close with this song one more time. I believe God is going to do something. God, I come right now against every spirit of fear. Every spirit amongst us to hold back. And God, I pray right now that a new sound of praise, a new sound of worship will come out of this place today. For those who are walking in fear, God, I've come against that spirit of fear right now. God, I speak freedom in their mind, freedom in their heart, and we're going to let it roar for you today, God, because you've done so much for us, God. You've canceled out the debt that we cannot pay, and we're going to shout it out, God, that we love you. So one more time, I want you to give God praise. Come on, TJ.
Come on, let all creation sing. One more time. Here we go. Let all creation sing.
Let all creation sing your praise.
And all the people shout
and
your
all
praise.
The people shout your name.
We lift our hands.
We lift our hands.
Destiny Church, are you ready to praise
we
God? Come on. Let creation, every nation, generations, give it praise. Let the people, all the children, lift your voices, give it praise.
All right, man. So the question is now, how will you prepare yourself from this point on? How will you prepare your worship? Say, God, I'm not going to give you any more leftovers. How many think that's a good prayer? God, I'm not going to give you any more leftovers. I'm going to learn to give you the best I can. Some days, that's not going to be a lot, but I'm going to learn to give God the best. And other times, it's going to be a lot because I'm going to prepare myself to give God my best. If you believe that, one more time, put your hands together. God, I'm giving you my best. Turn to give somebody a high five or a big hug and say, man, it was great to be with you. Have a great holiday weekend. God bless you guys.